This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we're going to review a movie called Anna for you. My name is Wayne.
And another film called The Dead Don't Die. At least I am. My name is Paul.
That's right.
And all right, two reviews, both short, both of which, interestingly enough, have not released, been released cinematically here in Australia.
Yeah.
And both were released months ago in the North American place of the world.
There's a weird thing that goes on with like our distribution schedule here in Perth and Australia, really.
Australia, yes.
It used to be parody for a while, and now it's starting to get weird like this a little bit with some movies.
The big budget films come out at the same time.
Yeah.
So It Chapter 2, we reviewed last week. Mm-hmm. That came out exactly the same time here in Australia as it did around the world.
Yes.
So simultaneous worldwide release. Okay, I'm not sure what the rationale is there, but these mid-tier sort of 20 to 30 to even less budget mm-hmm. films tend to be held over while I think the distribution company and the producers decide whether or not it's worth spending that money.
Yes.
So we'll start with The Dead Don't Die, which Wayne hasn't seen. I didn't want to put him through, and dear God, am I glad I did not.
Oh, dude. This is how we should do all horror movies. Go.
Well, The Dead Don't Die is written and directed by Jim Jarmusch.
Wayne's... Oh, God. Why did you go see this then? Everyone, Jim Jarmusch, in case you're uninitiated, is a director who's so pretentious he's never seen Star Wars and never will. Just to be pretentious. So fuck this guy. Paul, please tell me how his shitty movie worked out.
Look, I'm also not Jim Jarmusch film's biggest fan, God. But I don't judge him on the basis of his decision not to have seen Star Wars. Anyway, this film stars. It's a zombie horror comedy, absurdist satire.
Okay.
Stars Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Tilda Swinton, Chloe Sevigny, Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover, Caleb Landry-Jones, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop, RZA, Carol Kane,
my God,
Selena Gomez, and Tom Waits. Did I mention Danny Glover?
Yes. Yeah, I think you did. Listen, here's the thing. When you have, unfortunately, some directors like this get this odd cult status. They do a movie every like 10 years, and when it happens, anyone will sign in because they want to say they've done a Jim Jarmusch movie. Same with Terry fucking, that guy who did The Thin Blue Line.
The Thin Blue Line? I think you mean The Thin Red Line.
The Thin Red Line, yes.
And I believe you're talking about Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick, okay? So this guy is just boring as hell, but everyone wants to work with him for some reason. Jim Jarmusch, sadly, is like this, and that's why you get a cast like that.
Yeah, so the film is basically about a zombie outbreak.
Sure it is.
In a small town, somewhere around the population of 738 people from vague memory, America. And Bill Murray and Adam Driver are the sheriffs of, or the police, the law of said place, as well as Chloe Sevigny.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. Okay. And it is nothing like you would hope or want it to be if you're either A, a zombie film fan, or B, a horror film fan.
Why?
If you like comedy, well, in my case, keep looking, because this film is also not funny. But it basically follows, the zombies rise from the dead and start to eat the townspeople in this small town, which... It's also
about 10 years late on this concept, but okay.
Well, and he hits the same beats. Like, he's just doing George Romero, but in a really shitty way.
Ah, see, he's crap.
So, I'm going to avoid major spoilers in case, because it hasn't even come out here in Australia yet, but this film is one mishit after yet another mishit. It's really disappointing.
Really?
The only good thing about it is the cast. Like, it is fun watching Adam Driver and Bill Murray kind of very, very... lackadaisically bounce off each other.
Really?
Very lackadaisically.
Why? Like, I guess that's the obvious tone of the movie.
They're just very laid back because it's a country town in America. Cares. And Tom Waits is this like hermit who lives off in the woods. And he is also apparently a philosopher who pontificates about the dead rising and what this means.
I see.
As he looks through his broken ass eyesight on his gun.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi is this racist... farmer. Danny Glover is this lovely sort of dude.
So is this not, I know it's about zombies, but art house, yeah?
Oh, as art house
as art house as it gets, right? Yeah. So it just like doesn't even need to make sense.
The film goes in directions which I couldn't possibly explain to you. Again, absurdist. Now, our good friend and listener, David Powell, he said, good friend to the show, said, you probably just missed the point here. It's not meant to be a horror or a comedy. It's meant to be this absurdist satire. I'm like, well, it has to still be funny.
Yes, no, it's got to entertain you. Even if it's like freaking you out entertaining, that's still entertaining. If it's doing nothing, it's boring.
It sets up the first 45 minutes of this, 50 minutes, this is glacially slow, and it sets up this,
of course,
literally 15 or 16 characters, most of which have one character note, that is it, and then expects us to care when they start being offed. Or does it? I don't know. Jim Jarmusch doesn't care when the characters are killed, so why the fuck should we?
It interests me that you've got like there's obviously a crowd like this who sits there and just enjoys the dirge, enjoys like that it's like, oh, this is slow, but of course I'm Artie, so I've got a bit of stronger attention span. You know, the masses won't like this, but I'm not the masses. Is it that? Is that enough to sustain an entire part of an industry? Apparently.
Well, it didn't make a lot of money. That didn't make a lot of money at all.
So what is that? Is it political when a studio backs a movie like this? It's, they know they're not going to... What is it?
Its box office has been $14 million around the world thus far. So budget? It doesn't have a budget here on Wikipedia, okay. Which is interesting. I would imagine it's not that high.
No, it wouldn't be.
I don't...
Well, there's a lot of people...
A lot of names, but they all probably came in for a few days.
They would have worked for a bugger all, yeah.
There's so many things wrong with this from a zombie film perspective that it's not even really worth going into.
Okay, good. Because it sounds like shit.
Except for... I'll say this one thing. The zombies, some rise from the grave on night one. Mm. Some reanimate minutes after being bitten. Others take hours, if not days.
So you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't.
So there's no logic at all. There's no internal consistency whatsoever, which you know is my big bugbear. I fucking hate that when a film fails to establish rules and just goes, who gives a shit?
Exactly.
As it pisses everywhere.
Absolutely.
And then the rest of them all rise on night two. But when the zombies come up, they seem to have this... They seem to be stuck on one thing that might have been important to them when they were alive. Like, the guy who was a musician is like, guitar! And he's saying it. Guitar! Guitar! Guitar!
I take it this... this
as annoying as I'm doing now. Guitar!
Yeah, you're killing me.
Another one who's played by Iggy Pop is like, coffee!
No, that coffee. I can see. Iggy Pop is one of the...
The dead.
Dead. Yep. That's pretty accurate.
Not a lot of makeup involved.
No. You're sinewy. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know what you were expecting from a Jim Jarmusch movie about goddamn
zombies.
The
trailer's fun and it looks kind of interesting. And it does fourth wall breaking, but in tiny little places until it becomes really significant towards the end. And I don't want to give any more spoilers away than that.
Oh, good. I'll never see this movie.
Did make me laugh a little. I laughed in two. That was one bit I laughed at. The other bit I laughed at was when a couple of people were killed on the first night by zombies and three different characters walk into the scene of the crime and walk out and say, wow, was it a wild animal? Wild animals even. And they all say the same thing in different inflections when they all walk out separate times.
Okay.
That's as funny as this film gets.
Two gags in a not comedy horror.
In a 103-minute film.
Yep.
This is garbage. Don't bother. Don't waste your time.
Give me a reading.
It's terrible. I would give this a 27.
Boom. Right in the face, everyone. That's nasty.
And it will come out. The cinemas here in Australia apparently slated for in the next couple of weeks, in which case this is going to be my worst 10 films of the year. There we are. From one terrible film to another.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm talking about Anna, which was slated to be released here in Australia this week. Never made
what happened? They cancelled it?
Day. That is correct. Anna is written and directed by Luc Besson.
Luc Besson.
It stars Russian supermodel Sasha Luss, Luke Evans, Cillian Murphy, and Helen Mirren. It was released in America on the 21st of June 2019 and even in France on 10th of July. And here we are in the middle of September with no sight of it here. It's 118 minutes long. The budget was $30 million. So far around the world, it has taken $28.4 million. Wayne, what is it about?
Well, this Sasha Luss is actually a model that you mentioned. If you see this movie, you're like, yeah, of course she is. She plays Anna, who's an intelligent, highly skilled, lethal assassin. The KGB employs her under the mentorship of Olga, who is Helen Mirren, and they get her hired by a modeling agency, and that gives her the perfect cover as she goes to basically kill lots of dudes. She works closely with her comrade Alex, who is played by Luke Evans, but as is the case with spy thrillers, everything is not as it seems.
Inconceivable!
Exactly. And you get a bunch of reveals through this movie, and to say anything more would, you know, take away the element of surprise.
Be massive spoilers.
But this is your basic... chick who's a spy movie.
Okay? You mean the film that Luc Besson helped create, the genre,
yes.
Subgenre that helped
it's
Luc Besson help create.
Very La Femme Nikitarian.
29 years ago.
Yes, and to be fair, La Femme Nikita was among the first in that category.
I know, I'm giving him due credit for being right up there in terms of creating this subgenre, but...
Why did he have to make the movie again here? Is that what you're saying?
Are we really... Is Luc Besson so bereft of ideas that once again he goes back to that? Yes. Yes is the
answer.
The answer
is yes.
Because when he does go wide and try to create something wild and different, it's called Valerian and the City of a Thousand Shits.
Oh, God, that was a piece of shit. No, look, he's jumped the shark, man. He did two good movies. He did La Femme Nikita and he did The Professional.
And you like The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind The Fifth Element.
Most people do like The Fifth Element. I am the exception to that
rule.
So
three tops, but he's absolutely, apparently he's a very good businessman. I think I mentioned this before. He really, really can swing a deal where a movie has to just make $5 million for him to actually make money. So he always gets the first end of the deal, so it doesn't matter how shit the movie is. Boom.
Well, and that explains a lot.
Yeah, he's very rich.
All right, what did you think, Wayne, of Anna?
Okay, well, this movie starts out with the titular Anna being discovered by a modeling agency because she's, you know, she's selling stuff in a Russian someplace, you know, dump kind of market thing. And this is okay to look at, this movie. It's shot like a European film with that grainy film stock, and although it's relatively well lit, the filter or the finish of the film is that dank hue that I don't tend to like that much. But in the first 20 minutes, I'm noticing that the story seems slow and I'm not particularly engaged. But I must admit, the reveals of, they step backwards in time and say, actually, 6 months ago, this happened. And, you know, you get this sort of linear, not linear plot where it jumps back and forth and back and forth. Now,
did you watch, the version you watched, did it have timeline coding on it? Like no. Telling you 6 months before?
Yeah.
It did? Mine didn't.
Didn't it?
No.
Oh, that would have fucking killed it for you.
No, it didn't kill it for me. In fact, it made it more interesting because I was trying to work out what was going on because that's the only way I needed to think about anything in this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I didn't get 6 months ago or 4 months ago or 3 months from now or whatever the hell the thing
was. Okay, well, that's weird that they have a version like that, but he also does that. Well, that helped me massively because I would have been like, what the fuck is going on? I wouldn't have been able to figure it out. I would have been like, oh, it's pissing me off now.
No, you would have. Trust me.
I don't know. I got to say, so those things, unfortunately, those jumps back to reveal what actually happened, that's a really good idea, and it's a really, like, it's different. It's a different format to these usual, like, Wanted and fucking, you know, Salt and all those things, right? But it does tend to get a bit tiresome towards the end because they're just trying to shock you at every turn, which I appreciate, but you sort of see it coming. I will tell you that the action sequences are well shot and well choreographed. What do you think?
I thought this film was really average. In fact, it was worse than average. This film was terrible.
You don't like it?
It's a poor film.
Really? Okay, interesting.
It's not as poor as The Dead Don't Die, but it tries really hard. And I'll tell you why. We've seen this film twice in the last 18 to 20 months.
Which one are you talking about?
We're talking about Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde, yes.
And then Red Sparrow.
Yes. And oh, God, yes.
Both of those films are infinitely superior to this.
Yes.
Atomic Blonde, the action scenes are way better than here in Anna. And the double crossing and the triple crossing and whatever, as ridiculously weird or out of left field as it is still better handled than it is here in Anna. And Red Sparrow is anchored by a performance from Jennifer Lawrence
because
she can actually act.
Yes.
Whereas Sasha, that's fair enough. She's a first timer.
You know what? I believed her. I believed her as a model because she's one.
Yes. There's no problem. She's very pretty.
She delivered the action relatively well.
She's okay, but there's a lot of cutting to a stunt.
Ton of cutting. It's absolutely
and how it's way. Here's my problem with the action scenes. They're way too cut up. There's no flow in this era of John Wick and Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
She's not a patch on Charlize Theron in terms of the physicality required for this role because you see it, Charlize Theron doing it. Yeah. Whereas it's a stunt double with hair hanging down over her face in almost all of the physical shots. Yeah.
Do you know, I didn't pick that up, but okay. There's a scene, the first big action scene is in a restaurant, right? Yes. Where she's taking out this dude and like he's apparently 20 bodyguards, right? And
that scene really shat me. Because it's that... In one way, look, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, and that's what you're there for, and cool. But it is the quintessential one person comes at me at one time. The other 17 people have guns and aren't shooting.
No, this gets me every single time, all right? And it happens later in this movie as well, where she's fighting all these dudes, and she's shooting all of them, but ironically, when she drops her gun and she loses, they don't have guns.
They've got battle.
They're coming at it with fucking... That's right. And 20 of them as well. I'm like, didn't any of you pick up a gun on the way out?
You're fucking a KGB high security installation, and everyone who happens to come at you now is gunless.
Exactly. Now, you've got to think about that. And the only thing that pisses me off worse than that is a man who has a gun and is about, you know, 5 meters from you, and doesn't fire. He runs towards you with the gun outstretched so you can intercept the fucking gun and take it off. Why? It just, that always gives me the shits, and it did in this one.
And there are a lot of those moments in these relatively sparse action scenes.
Yeah, that's the thing. This thing, because it's jumping around and stuff like that, the cuts, they don't come, well, in my case, they weren't confusing. In your case, they weren't either, but they become tedious.
The first one's good.
The first one's really good. When you first realize what exactly happened, you're like, oh, that's cool.
You know this is a film about a female spy.
Yes, who obviously
and
does
so you're
shit.
Waiting, and I thought we were still in the recruitment phase.
Exactly.
And then, bam, no, we're not. It's already been recruited.
Exactly.
And here's the reveal.
That was really good, and that made me lit.
I guess we're into spoilers a little bit here, but
don't worry about it. You guys aren't going to see this, right? So it's just,
you won't have a chance to.
Yeah, because it's shit. Exactly, right? But it's definitely, I think, that's the best thing about this film. That format In as much as it has problems.
I'll just say this is a spoiler-filled review for Anna.
Okay, spoiler-filled review. Yep. Yeah. All right.
So from here on out, if you haven't already, like, you'll have read the notes, hopefully, and seen it all cross-written across there. And I maybe even put a little note at the start of the episode saying, spoilers for Anna from get-go.
Yeah.
And then no one can be pissed off at us.
Well, I mean, Helen Mirren is in this movie.
Yeah, and at least she embraces the role, and she does chew the scenery.
She does chew.
She really gets into it. And here's a really weird thing about the film, which you reminded me now by talking about her. I didn't realize this was set in the 80s until Cillian Murphy at the end of the film pulls out a pager. And I'm like, why has he got a fucking pager? Look it up. I'm like, oh, this is in the 80s? I just thought Russia had really shit cars.
You would be forgiven for not knowing
other than the lack of mobile phones, which I now reflect on, it didn't have mobile phones.
Had one mobile phone, but it was this big fucking huge Nokia 101 motherfucker.
I didn't realize this was set in the late 80s, early 90s at all.
The only time I first looked at it is in the when the first shoot, they play music, but he puts a cassette in the thing and they push play. I'm like, what the fuck?
I just thought, because, geez, do they make the point of saying that all fashion photographers are wankers in this movie?
It's not, the fashion is not 1980s.
Isn't it?
No, Cillian Murphy's suit is a modern suit.
It looked like a modern suit. And I am not the fashion guy.
Same with Luke. No one is dressed like 80s.
Yeah,
even though
but they're
Moscow.
Driving 80s piece of shit cars, which, again, I'm sorry if this is being
elitist. I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
But they're driving all these piece of shit little cars, even the spies and whatever else. So it all kind of fell into place.
Oh, yeah, the old Mercs and stuff.
Yeah, later on. But at the time, I'm just like, oh, that's just Russia.
Hmm. You know what? I don't mind that it was set in the 80s, and I don't mind that I didn't know, or at least it was not a big feature of the movie, but it's interesting, like, why did they set it
Which
in
makes
the
sense, then. Well, like, and again, I just saw the KGB, it's from Russia. That's why they have these piece of shit fucking monitors.
Yeah.
That they're watching everything through.
Although, if you look in the 80s, we all had piece of shit monitors. No,
that's my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh, because they were
Yeah, I didn't realize it was the 80s. I just thought it was Russian tech.
Well, they have an NXS song in here. Which
that's the best thing in the whole film.
Okay, so that's...
By a million miles.
I wondered if you'd like this. So it was... what was the song?
Need You Tonight.
Need You Tonight, okay.
Which is what we'll definitely go out with on this episode.
Okay, good. Fair. I know you like it. That's good shit. But like, it's a montage where she goes back to work, and to that song is cut a string montage of her killing heaps of dudes. Yeah.
Even in and the editing is in tune with the beat, or in time with the beat.
Yeah, yeah, even with the gunfire and shit like that. So it's Yeah, it's good shit. So that was a good bit, I must admit, right?
Best bit of the film.
There's a couple other things. This one other thing I want to point out is that she kills a lot of people, and like in some one scene, she's actually like she's fooled the FBI or whatever, or CIA because you know she's like they wiped the tapes that were security cameras to show she was at a hotel. But then when they cut that flashback to it to see how she did it, she killed the guys in the fucking room. And I'm like, did no one fucking realize that? Like, what the fuck? It's just weird. So it gets involved a lot with it killing with her killing. And that becomes a bit tiresome for me. So,
well, there's a couple of things which are worth emphasizing about it. First of all, the film thinks it's way smarter than it is.
That's true.
So the first reveal, as we've said, worked for me. After that, I just was looking for it and could see it coming a mile away. So when she is like this and acting like that, I'm like, well, I reckon this is the point where she's a double up. Yep, there it is. And oh, hang on. She's not dead at the end. She's arranged this with old. Yep. Oh, there it is. It was so obvious to me. It was bleedingly so.
See, it took me about 3 surprises to go, oh, I should now expect surprises. And that was the problem. So, I probably liked it a bit more. Actually, I did like it more than you. I actually don't think it was a terrible movie.
No,
I think
it's
it was
not all right. Terrible. It's not going to be in my top 10 worst of the year or anything like that.
No, this is not like...
But it's not a good film. It's as I said, the worst of the modern age of female super spy assassins getting one up on the male patriarchy which are running them. It's also far worse than La Femme Nikita.
Yeah, yeah. La Femme Nikita was of its time, but it was great still. Like, it was beautiful. Looked like an American film.
I would go so far as to say it's not as good as Point of No Return / The Assassin as we had it.
No,
here
The Assassin
in
was better. Yep. The Assassin was
with
better.
Bridget Fonda. I agree. From 93.
Well, that was all Gabriel Byrne and fucking cool.
It's
shit.
Not as good as Salt. You know, it's just,
Salt was great. Salt was
it's
a good
not
movie.
As good as any of these.
This is largely forgettable.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. Why make this? Well, maybe you've explained it. Because he's a good businessman and he makes money whenever he does this. Right. I'll tell you what else he is. A cretin.
Yeah?
So, here's another problem with this film, if you want to read it this way. And we make pains here to separate the creation from the creator, which is why I haven't brought it up until the end here.
Go on.
He has been accused now of inappropriate sexual behavior with 9 different women, Luc Besson.
9.
Not hard to understand when you consider all his films are all about this, you know, very young female type. And he's been, literally, he's in the courts. Yeah, he has been charged with rape by the French police.
So fucking hell, I like The Professional. No, I can't.
No, again, we make this one sound. Yeah. I tried not to, but it's hard knowing that watching this film, I was like, oh, this is problematic. Why does this 55 or whatever he is, 60-year-old dude feel the need to make these films time and again.
Not to play devil's advocate, but like I reckon because he cut his teeth on La Femme Nikita, it's the female assassin spy. That's his thing. So then he does this, and that's, I think that's actually almost like Frank Miller does things where there's a kid in the movie. The kid is like central to the movie.
Yep.
That kind of shit happens. So if it's okay for that, what the problem is that he can't be fucking around with him. So yeah, I know. If I had known that when I was watching this, I probably would have colored it a bit.
Yeah, look, and I'm trying not to let it color it. My grade doesn't reflect that, but I think it needs to be mentioned. And now we can move on from it. But Luc Besson, maybe he'll be exonerated, and we'll need to apologize. And I'm assuming he's guilty of
saying. Yes, we can't do that.
It's just problematic knowing that part when you watch this movie. For me, final thoughts on Anna. It's not a good film. Anna Sasha Lewis might one day be a great actor of note, but at the moment, she's not.
She sure is pretty.
Yes, but that's
I know.
Yes, that's what you judge a model on. It's not what you judge an actor on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's not enough for her. She can't carry the weighty sort of scenes in this film. She's okay at being vulnerable, but that's her range, vulnerable to neutral. So when she's angry, I didn't buy it.
Yeah. She's very slight.
Yeah, whereas when Charlize Theron, say, an Atomic Blonde is angry,
you can be a bit scared
absolutely
of
like, oh, hang on, I need to back the fuck up here.
Yep, totally.
Again, to compare. And likewise, Jennifer Lawrence and Red Sparrow, her pathos comes through. For me, I really liked
it. Oh, no, she killed it.
I really dug Red Sparrow. I know lots of people hated it for all the reasons they hate this film, plus the Luc Besson
Red Sparrow was unmarketable. It was definitely better.
It's a much smarter film. This one, it's obvious. Harder as well. It's painful in places, how obvious it is. The action is, for me, highly edited and not at all convincing with the stunt double comes in, but it did have a couple of fun moments, particularly the Need You Tonight montage. So overall, I give this a 40 flat.
40 flat. All right. My score is 55.
Okay. So you give it a slight pass. I don't.
If you're on a plane and this comes on and there's nothing else to watch, fine.
Sure.
You know, look, but don't go.
Coming from a bloke who once watched Taken 3 on a plane, anything's a good plane movie.
Yes. Or you go.
I'm pretty sure Luc Besson produced that piece of shit as well.
Oh, really?
All right, there you go. So two absolute non-recommends. The 2019 piece of shit run continues.
I hope you were doing something while you were listening to these two.
Geez, I hope that we had some rallying points in the last 3.5 months of this year.
Is it going to get better, though?
I don't know. Out? I'm not excited. I'm just not.
I've heard tell of a new Rian Johnson movie with Daniel Craig.
Oh, Knives Out.
I've heard it's going to be great, but I've not heard a thing about it.
Well, that's out in November, I believe. So right, we got look, there's some big films coming. Joker's coming. Obviously, that's creating quite a buzz.
Good Lord, I don't know what to think about that one.
Ready or not, I'm very keen on that's out in the States about a month and a half ago already. Keen on that. That's October. It's Halloween time. Yay. Miles off on that.
Oh, good one.
Of course, we've got Rise of Skywalker. So there's some things
I'm crapping
to come.
My pants. What's Star Wars?
There's some things to come, but this year is wide open for the best of the year. Hasn't been great. TV's been better. That's all I'll say.
Agree completely.
All right, that's the end of these reviews. Thank you so much for joining us. You can hit us up via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can follow us on Podbean where we host this show. And you can hit up our show as well as all the other great shows as part of the CC Radio Network at ccradio.com.au. And welcome to Fightcast Australia, the newest show on the network.
Fightcast!
Do check that one out. And that is it from us. Thank you so much. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this is being the soundboard, which didn't really need to get mentioned much because Wayne and I are pretty much in lockstep agreement.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Yeah,
if Luc Besson thinks this is the best that he can churn out. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
So slide away and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. You're one of my kind.